In the second part of the show, as is usual, we have an in-studio interview. This week we have Alan Bennett in to talk to us. Alan Bennett, you're very welcome.
How are you doing? Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for coming in. Alan, introduce yourself to us. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I don't know myself very well. Geez, you're throwing me in the deep end there. I thought you knew all about me already.
No.
I was hoping you were going to tell me.
Somebody gave me your phone number and I just said...
All right. Well, you should have rang me earlier. Well, I'm a writer, I suppose, and I run headstuff.org, and we've half an hour here, so I suppose find the rest out there.
When did you start writing, Alan?
In a way, I was kind of always writing without really knowing what I was doing. I was writing through college. I did painting in college, fine art painting, and I found myself writing in a way so I didn't have to paint. So I was kind of writing little films I could then shoot and that kind of thing, and writing comic strips. And then I had a book and I was writing all these one-liners, didn't really know what I was doing until my friend told me that I was writing comedy. So he suggested maybe I should go and do some comedy, and then I did comedy for a few years. And then I started writing longer bits and I found out that I was just writing stories.
Wow, that's loads of really great ammo for a 30-minute talk.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in this idea that... Did you say you studied fine art in college?
I did, yeah. Painting, yeah.
I'm really interested in the idea of the two different art forms in dialogue with each other. You said you started to write because... you didn't want to paint, but did you feel this kind of creativity that had to get out? You needed a fix?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it was bursting out of me. Oh, yeah. No, I suppose I had to do something. Because I was in college and I had to, you know, I had to convince people that I needed to be graded at the end of it. I think I was probably writing in school as well. I remember I wrote an essay that I never had any good English teachers or anything really. I was never decided if I was in honours or pass English. And I remember writing an essay I was quite proud of, but I kind of got no feedback on it. But I always remember that essay, and I feel like maybe if I was kind of encouraged a bit more, I would have started writing earlier. It was more that I started writing those kind of short films and comics, and then started doing comedy. I don't think it was necessarily bursting to get out, but I think it just kind of happened.
Would you look back on that period of your life, maybe, you know, whatever, 15, 16, when you wrote that essay? Because I know in regret, I'm just thinking of it's... a very cliched thing that the writer has some English teacher who pushes him, kicks down the door or whatever. Do you think you could have maybe taken a different route and done English in college?
No. I think if I was going back now, I might do that.
Yeah.
But I think I was studying pass English all the way up to the end, and then I sat the honours exam.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Because
there was no, I think we just didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
The class was kind of a mix of everything, and I scraped it. I got a D in English.
All right.
Yeah. So.
And you wouldn't know from reading some of your stuff now, and that's no disrespect to anyone who gets a D.
Well, maybe it's the people who get D's that turn into writers.
Okay, yeah.
It's probably not. That's
bold,
that's.
Bold.
Yeah.
You got into comedy.
I found my way into that as well.
A friend just said you should do it, and you did it.
Yeah, he started reading the kind of, I suppose I was writing one liners, and he read them and he found them funny, and so we made a deal. He wanted to get into animation, so he said, by the end of whatever it was, by the end of the summer, you have to do a stand up gig, and I have to make an animation. And I'm very impatient, and I just do things. So I rang somebody up, and I did a gig within a couple of weeks.
All right.
I don't think he's ever made that
did
film. I don't think that ever happened.
No. Was there a forfeit?
No, there wasn't. No, I mean, I went on to become massively successful, and he's now an alcoholic. So
so consider that your
yeah. I mean, his life really took a turn after that. So
yeah. Great stuff, and. You had your own comedy night.
Yep.
Am I mistaken? No, I'm not.
You're not? No. That was called Schnitzel Comedy Club. It was me and that same friend. He's actually all right. And
he's not on the street. All right.
He's not. Positive. No, I took him in under my wing. I gave him a room in my apartment, so he's okay. He's actually much more successful than me.
Okay.
He's got a job. So
That's how we measure success.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he difficult can buy times. Things. He bought me dinner yesterday, so which was nice. No, he's we did. We ran a club. It was called Schnitzel Comedy Club, and it was in Limerick for, I suppose, 3 or 4 years, and then we did a few shows in Newbridge and Kildare, where I'm from, and a few in Dublin. But it was just an awful lot of work, so we stopped doing it. But yeah, it was a great comedy club.
Enjoyable?
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, we got great comedians that we were huge fans of to come, and it had quite a good name. So
okay, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, was it? How does one go about starting a comedy club?
Just, I suppose, have no idea what you're doing, and don't take no for an answer, and just if you want to do something, just go and do it. So I think we decided we got a venue, and then we were like, we'll book a comedian, and we'll tell people it's on, and it kind of grew out of that. I mean we got comedians that other clubs in Ireland couldn't really get, because I don't know, we just kind of rang them up in chance or arm, and they just said yeah, and other comedy clubs kind of, I don't know, they wouldn't try or something.
So we
got great comedians over from the UK and that kind of thing.
Excellent. And you did a good bit of stand-up yourself as well?
Yeah, I hosted the shows. So I did all that every week, or every whatever it was, fortnight, and then I did gigs around Dublin and
difficult
all
gig
over Ireland.
Being MC, is it?
Again, I wasn't a very good MC, but I didn't really kind of pay attention to the feedback. So I just did it, you know. I don't think I was a very good MC, but you know,
yeah,
it's fine.
I'm sure you were excellent.
You're right, I was.
Was writing, you said you were you writing this whole time during the comedy club? And
yeah, well, I would have been writing jokes and material.
Okay.
So
actual fiction or short stories or?
No. I mean, I started writing kind of longer form things. I never wrote like the kind of, I suppose, standard comedy stuff and you know, anecdotes and that kind of thing. It was always kind of one-liners and three-liners. And then I started doing kind of longer things with like PowerPoint presentations, that kind of thing. And I wrote a kind of a diary thing of this kind of funny character, and I suppose that was kind of like a short story, just delivered in a different way. And then I started reading kind of short stories on stage, and the more I did that, the more I realised I wasn't really doing stand-up comedy anymore. It was just kind of, you know, doing readings.
Did you have any, was there any kind of figures that you were trying to emulate when you were writing a funny short story or doing a PowerPoint presentation?
No, not really, no.
Was it something you came to?
I just wanted to be the best me I could be.
Okay, admirable. Where was it? Oh yeah,
I'm
sorry.
I've just thrown you off now.
So
I feel like I'm the worst radio guest ever. I feel like everything I do is really noisy. And I'm like moving my glass and my phone and.
You follow your gut more often because you're.
Yeah, can the microphone hear my gut as well? I feel like it probably can.
I don't know. What did you have for dinner last night?
I don't. Well, yeah, my friend bought it for me, so it was. I mean, it was chipper stuff, you know.
Yeah, this is the guy who lived on the street. Okay. comedy. Did you? So when you eventually came to fiction writing, was comedy still fully in your mind? I want to write something funny here, or did you start to experiment with more dramatic forms, or?
I think I just started writing stories, but they generally found their way to being kind of funny, you know. Mm. So, yeah, generally when I write prose, it ends up being with a humorous kind of with a slant on it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if your average writer, and when they write, they're writing for a magazine or to get published or something. Did you have? I mean, what was your goal when you were writing? Because you were obviously from a comic background. Were you always writing for a stand-up kind of performance?
No, I think at the start I was just literally just writing for the sake of writing. And then I think I put one story, I saw something come up on Facebook about a competition, and I put it in, just a small pub competition, and I won that, but it was just kind of like a votes kind of thing. I think I just got the most votes. It wasn't some like you know, Booker Prize or anything.
No, still pat on the back. I mean, it can
yeah, well, it made me write some more. And then eventually I found out like that's the kind of thing I should be doing, and I submitted to a few kind of online journals and that kind of thing. And a few stories published online, that kind of way.
And have you, what's your experience been with the publishing industry, I suppose?
Not a huge amount, really. I have a few online journals and I have a few printed in books. Like, there's an online journal that called Wordlegs that has a... It did a print book called 30 Under 30, and I was involved in that. And we did a book. I did an MA then in writing and creative writing, and we did a book at the end of that, so that was published. And
So you've got a couple of credits. You're being very modest there.
Got a couple of credits, yeah. I mean, nothing major, but... I was very proud to get into Wordlegs. It's a brilliant... It's actually finished now, which is very sad for everybody in my bracket of writing. It started by this great writer. She's called Elizabeth Reapy, and she's going to be something special, I think. But she's gone on to do other things now. But I'm really proud of that. Yeah.
Is it Wordlegs itself? That was a collection of stories, or what was it?
It was an online journal. So yeah, it was. I think it was monthly, and it was. Don't quote me on that, actually. But anyway, it was quarterly. No quotes. And then they did a print run of a book called 30 Under 30. So they got the 30 Irish writers who were under 30.
I came across that one before. I read a couple of the stories.
I didn't
know you got into that until they pulled you in off the street. That was an excellent book and
it was really good
initiative. Yeah. And of course, I mean, today's theme is alternative outlets for creative writing, and I mean, your blog is extremely impressive. Can you just tell us a little bit about? We'll talk about it more after our little break in a minute or two. But
I mean, it's the same way I got into everything. It was kind of a mistake. My whole life has been a mistake that led to Near FM, and the story goes, legend has it, that I had nothing to do one Saturday night. My friends wouldn't play with me, and I just built this website because I saw an ad on it was Facebook again. Facebook changed my life so many times. And I just built this website, and I picked categories that I was interested in. So all the categories you see on Headstuff are just things that I like, and it kind of took off in a way that I didn't really expect. So it's just how it started, just kind of weirdly.
Wow, that is a cliffhanger if ever I saw one. Yeah. But anyway, on to your headstuff.org.
Yep.
Fabulous website for anybody who isn't aware of it. So you got into blogging by a mistake?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I found out it was a blog by mistake as well. I was calling it a website until we were nominated for a blog award. That's how I found out it was a blog.
How long were you calling it a website before someone told you?
I'm still calling it a website. Okay. I don't know. It sounds a bit fancier, I think. I suppose it's a blog. I don't know. It's what was the question?
Well, new question.
New question. Okay.
For any of our listeners who don't know what a blog is or a blogging website, can you just summarize?
No, can you get them to tell me? Well, Headstuff is it's a collaborative website that's. We're interested in good content as opposed to, you know, clickbait you'd see mostly on the internet.
Yeah.
So we like to have a lot of different contributors, people who are good at writing or making music or making short films or that kind of thing. And then they can collaborate with each other. And, it's basically just a kind of a hub for everything that I find interesting, that other people also find interesting. Okay. So it's like, it's everything that I wanted to write, but kind of just got other people to write it better than I would have.
Do you contribute to it yourself?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
How many articles a week? Blog? I mean, do we call them articles or do we call them blogs a week?
I call them articles, I suppose, or posts.
Posts.
How many articles a week? There's probably about 20 a week on the site, and I would do maybe two or three, I suppose. Earlier on I was doing more, but now we've more contributors, so I can do a bit less, which is good.
At the start, was it, I mean, how do you acquire these contributors? Friends, or do you...
Yeah, at the very start, it was friends. It was just like, you know, I started the website, and then I was like, you know, one of the sections I made was science, because I'm interested in science, but I can't write about science because I'm not a scientist. Well, I could, but I can't because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I like reading about it. So I was like, okay, that's a section. I need someone to write that. You know, and so there's just a lot of different sections. And I'm not, you know, an expert on everything, but I'm just interested. So I asked people who I knew who had studied science or who had studied, say, history, to write something for that section. And then I suppose word got out and people started submitting to me. And we've over 100 contributors now. So,
wow, that is impressive. How many sections are there? Science?
Yeah, history? There's eight. So
eight
I hope I don't have to say them because I'll forget one. No, science, history, literature, humour, film, music, topical and visual art.
Oh, right, excellent.
Mm. We also have a contact section. So that's the last section.
For new contributors and so
for anybody who wants to say, oh yeah.
Yeah. You respond.
That was like the boggiest thing I've ever said. Yeah, the contact section for anyone who wants to say, how are you?
How's it going?
Yeah, and that's mainly what we get, just emails saying, how are you?
And they're very welcome.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, moving on to the literature side of things, are your contributors, I mean, I don't know, do you question them? Do they all write themselves?
What do you mean? Do I think they're copying their homework?
Do they? No. Are they creative writers in their own right? Are they short story writers?
Some of them will be. Some of them certainly are. Mm-hmm. Others are. I mean, in literature, mostly we get submissions from short story writers, novelists, that kind of thing, or people who write about writing or write about books or reading, you know, that kind of thing.
So you would publish a lot of short stories in the literature section.
We have published some, not a huge amount, but. Yeah, we're always open to more submissions and contributors. We just haven't got a huge amount in, but we've some brilliant short stories on there by some great writers, yeah.
Okay, and including yourself.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of stories that are on there at the start that was like, I have to put some content on this website, so I just threw up a few stories. But no, there's much better stuff than that up and much more recently, so.
I'll just ask you about maybe two quite briefly. There's one, Gary Traynor and His Feet. It's very comedic. It's very funny.
Okay.
You can obviously tell you're from a comedy background. When did you write Gary Traynor and His Feet?
That's actually the story that's in the what is that in actually? That's in the book that I was the one that we did at the end of our MA.
All right.
So it's in that book called New Tricks at Matches, and I wrote it originally years ago, and it was awful, and I didn't know what it was. That was before, it was when I had just started doing stand-up, I think, and I didn't know what I was doing. And then I came back to it when I was in the MA, and I was like, I could make that into a relatively good story, which is, I think, where it is now. And that's it. It's a bit comedic and a bit disgusting.
Yeah, okay, yeah, maybe a little gory, I'll take your point on that. What about comedy in literature? Well, do you think, like, you know, good literature can have comedy, should have comedy?
I don't think anything should have anything as such, but definitely can, yeah. Comedy is not, I'm not sure about the word comedy as such. Sometimes
humor.
When a book is described, as a comedy, it's like kind of as if it's something separate. But some of my favourite books are, you know, have humour in them. Nearly every book has a bit of humour somewhere, except for the most, you know, awfully tragic stuff. But, I mean, some of my favourite writers are very funny. Like Roddy Doyle is, you know...
Absolutely.
Hilarious. Yeah. And there's no... I mean, calling his books comedy books, I think, almost takes away from how, you know, brilliant they are. Like, they're pure literature. They're just very funny.
Yeah, I mean, even if you looked at films, people say, I think I want a comedy. You know, it's something that's light. I mean, a comic actor is never going to... A comic actor is not going to win an Oscar, you know?
Did one recently? Did that happen recently? Oh, maybe it didn't. I wanted it to happen. Oh, yeah, I wanted Robert Downey Jr. to win for Tropic Thunder.
Oh, of course,
Yeah, that didn't happen, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to happen eventually, though.
Well, let's hope so.
Yes, let's.
Someone like Will Ferrell, I think it's a crime that man doesn't get more...
Yeah, he should win an Oscar every year, shouldn't he? Yeah.
Star turn as Ron Burgundy. something different from comedy, Lost at Sea. I was on the website... both Lost at Sea and Gary Traynor were posted on the 1st of February 2014.
Yeah.
I was wondering about the chronology of those.
The 1st of February 2014 is the first day of the website. So when I said I was filling it with content, literally filling it with content. So those two stories, that's the story that was published in the Word Legs book, 30 under 30. So I just asked Elizabeth if she minded, and she didn't, and I just threw it up onto the website.
Okay, so are you planning on having a party in the coming 1st of February, and can I come?
Yes. Yes, you can. The party will be in my house.
Okay, that's good.
I know, I think we are going to aim to have a first birthday party.
Yeah, you should, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
The form of Lost at Sea, it's a chronologue. I mean, it's fourth class, and then there's, I don't know, three sentences, and then fifth class.
There's more than three sentences. It goes from fourth class up until the end of school. Two years after school.
2 years post-school, I think, is
the... I don't know why I wrote it like that. I wrote it like that, but it worked, I think.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. The form was huge to the piece. You get such a sense of, you know, you've lived with this guy. And it's not a happy story. It's a sad story, which makes the living more tragic.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about that. I also wrote that, or I at least wrote the first draft of that during that MA. And I don't know why, but my tutor wrote, "This is literature" on it. And I don't know what she was getting at, that everything else I wrote was nonsense. But
so it was like, an insult rather than...
Yeah, maybe, yeah. She's like, "Finally, you should be here." So, yeah, I think that's the height of my literary career, is writing that story. So...
I have no more. No, I do have. I have plenty more questions. There's something else on headstuff.org. Legends of the Month.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I wanted to write about somebody every month, so I made a category called Legends of the Month, and I pick somebody that I like each month, and I write about them.
Who was the most recent legend?
I've been a little bit busy, and I haven't had a legend this month. The most recent one, I believe, is Sylvia Plath. Is it? You probably know better than I do.
Sylvia Plath certainly is a legend of the month. I'm not sure if she's October's legend of the month.
I think she was. I didn't get around to it in November.
Yeah, actually,
because I've just been too busy.
I mean, I know who Sylvia Plath is, but I've never read her. But from reading your article, I would like to read some of her poems and her novel.
She's great. Right?
Yeah. And, I mean, what other kind of... You said it's just things that you find interesting that other people find interesting, but what else... what else goes into a blog? Topical stuff? Anything? I mean, stuff in your head, hence the head stuff?
Or stuff for a head, for your head. Yeah, it's. I suppose anything that's interesting at any moment in time you can put up. If something interesting is happening in the news, I can write about it, or any if there are contributors can write about it. So, I mean, if there's an event, a world event, for example, it was World Toilet Day the other day, and we had a few articles about that, and they were brilliant articles. It's a serious day. That's you know, there's a billion people in the world that don't have access to, you know, actual sanitation. So it was about that. Yeah.
Well, I think we're just coming up to the end of the show here, but Alan, it's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.